It's in the poetry at the Word Cafe.
It's in the poetry. It's in the poetry.
Words plucked like fruit, then thrown away. Some may stay in lines spun like silk that tear and fray. Some may stay.
Oh, hello. This is The Word Cafe, and I'm Julie Mullen. It's 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio. Oh, hello. I'm broadcasting from home, and the hope is I press all the right buttons and do all the technical stuff. Otherwise, there's going to be a husband running in. He's actually listening in the other room, ensuring safety, the safety net. So, yes, if you love poetry, then you're absolutely in the right place. Today on this crazy, mad, I love poets programme. Does Roger McGough say that when he starts a show on Radio 4? I hope so. We have got, well, just wait for it, the Lockdown Podcast. With none other than Matt Harvey as co-presenter, and young Izzy Mattesini, who I met a few years ago at the Cot Inn in Dartington, when her mum encouraged her to get on stage and perform a poem. And I have to say, Izzy has won about 3 prizes. She is now 14, but obviously, when we made this podcast a year ago, in lockdown, she was a bit younger. But gosh, and Alice Oswald mentioned her and said just what an incredible talent she is. And on the pod, of course, is Mr. Simon Williams. We're so lucky. We've had him twice now on these programmes, so that's very fortunate. And as the show, the poetry show, rolls on, we have got Susan Taylor book launch, and I shall be introducing Susan to you at about 12:35. And then we will have Mr. Robert Garnham on a bus somewhere in Paignton, and Rosie Barrett will be our final guest of the day. So are you excited? I am. Right, I've got to grab the phone, and what I normally do is connect with our Tracy. Now, Tracy sadly is on her way to a funeral, so sorry about that, Tracy, and our love is with you, going with you. But she very kindly recorded this for me. Let's see if I can find it this morning. This is a message to all our fabulous listeners, both poetry and those who love poetry.
Good morning, you lovely mad chicklet, Julie. I'm so sorry I can't be on your show in person on the phone today, but I'm sadly on my way to a funeral in Essex, but I will be listening from the car. Your show will be a lovely distraction. God, your listeners are in for a real poetry feast today. It's going to be a journey that takes them from, if I remember rightly, episode 4 of these podcasts. It's going to take you on a journey from particle physics through to the evolution of pigs with your lovely self hosting and the wonder of a wordsmith, Matt Harvey. And the featured poets, the ridiculously talented, for one so young, Izzy Mattesini and glorious Simon Williams. Have fun, and I'll catch up with you when I get back to Totonesse. Love you, bye.
See, we've even got a message. So thank you, Tracy Gillies, for that. And just to say, you know, all of this came about, the Lockdown Podcast, because of Tracy and Sarah at the Barrel House. So that's our local gaff, and that's where we normally put the Word Cafe on when we're not in lockdown or have got a virus knocking about. So yeah, We are very fortunate indeed to have made a film and also to put 14 classic poets from across UK in the lockdown pods. Okay, so let me just play for time, shall I, and get it going. So here we are, Izzy Mattesini, Simon Williams and Mr. Matt Harvey.
Barrel House Podcasts, supported by a bit of josh from the Arts Council purse, a series of seven jolly podcasts made with love, tenderness and Matt Harvey.
No.
They are especially going out to our audiences who miss the Word Cafe, which used to happen once a month upstairs at the Barrel House in Totnes. So welcome to Izzy Mattesini and Simon Williams and Mr. Matt Harvey, who's going to do us a warm-up poem.
Yes, thank you. It's jolly nice to be here, as ever, on the Barrel House Sound Art podcast with everybody. I'm going to read you a poem called Wondermental Things, and I chose this apropos of almost nothing, but I was reading about Simon Williams' most recent book, Magpie Almanac, which covers such a variety of topics, amongst which is particle physics, I believe.
Yeah.
And so I just thought I must read this. It's called Wondermental Things, and it's a take of a work on physics. The wondermental things apply as quirky quantum time goes by. It's quirky and it's quirky, and it's kind of like a door key to a world so charmed and murky, only physicists can visit it and handle its vicissitudes. It is the most absorbing thing to watch electrons orbiting, to sit there and imagine them without a hope of catching them. The fundamental particles, least definite of articles. Though smaller than bacteria, they're in no way inferior. They occupy less area, are infinitely eerier and scarier. So much that even physicists can hardly grasp that they exist. They have non-local properties, exist as probabilities, as possibles and parallels, as parables and dizzy spells. A neo-nano nothingness, attention-seeking emptiness, an absence with an aftertaste, a ripple in a state of grace. For some, the subatomic's both a riddle and a tonic. East of reason, shy of rhyme, the quantum world confirms that time is circular and cyclical. On top of that, it speaks of why the wondermental things apply as quirky quantum time goes by. Nice sounds. I hope you consider yourself slightly esoterically, scientifically warmed up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's my turn now to introduce the lovely Izzy Mattesini. Now, Izzy lives in Dartington and attends the Steiner School. The professor of poetry at Oxford, no less, Alice Oswald, said of Izzy's poetry, "I certainly wasn't writing poetry like that when I was 11. Well done, Izzy." And Izzy has now turned 13. Happy birthday, Izzy. So Izzy has won two poetry awards, the Tynemouth Festival Poetry Award and the Mother's Milk Poetry Award. And she is deeply inspired by nature. So welcome, Izzy Mattesini.
Thank you. Hello.
Would you like to recite your poems, or are you going to do Simon's first?
I will start with one of mine, and then I will go on to Simon's. So this one's called Crows and Ravens. As if it were a silent song, the crows and ravens blew swiftly through the air, landing on the old, worn-down branches of an oak. And, as if speaking to the sun, they called out their cries full of joy whilst flapping their coal-like feathers. Then they would fly off again to a new hauntlet of ash branches. There you go.
Thank you, Izzy, starting with a beautiful one. Thank you.
And, okay, so would you like me to go on to Simon's?
Yeah, let's have Simon's. That'd be fun.
This one's called A Wolf Explains the Howl. In his book, The Philosopher and the Wolf, Mark Rowlands tells how his wolf would sit howling whilst his mother cooked. The wolf was asking for cheese, which it loved. As we sit out under lupine constellations, lay our heads back, roll our tongues, breathe deep. We're not calling to our mates, challenging our rivals. We don't do it to integrate the pack. So few of you have taken time to study. So few of you know how we long for Wensleydale, how we lament the lack of Limburger in forests, yearn for little Edams in the vast, cold tundra. Why else would we house though under the full moon? Even the ponderous trappers know the way it looks. Don't come with your guns to keep your fluffy mutton safe. Don't send your puny dogs to save your chickens. In the frozen nights, where all we have for life is what we eat, bring us cheese. Oh, bring us cheese.
Yay!
Yay!
Well done!
Excellent.
Well read.
Beautifully read, is it?
Great stuff. So are we going to hear one more of your own pieces?
Yeah, so I've got another one here.
Great.
Okay.
Excellent.
So this one doesn't have an official title, as I've never really given it one, but I'm just quite happy with the poem itself. I've seen you before. Your hair was somewhat shaggy, as if not been brushed properly. And your face, it was so pale, and under your eyes was a darkness. I could see you'd hardly slept, but I'd seen you before. I felt a sorrow for you, like if a piece of your heart had been stolen, you were hopelessly wandering in search for it. I'd seen you before. Your hands were what puzzled me, your left hand puzzled me, for it was all covered in bandages, right up to the edge of your fingertips, where I could see the remains of peeled away nail polish, as if picked at for a long time. I'd seen you before. You made no sound as you passed by, like a ghost completely out of this world. Although I knew I'd seen you before, you brought a coldness, a sort of icy chill. Or maybe it was just the air. Maybe it was all just the air, just a dream. But I do swear, I swear, I'd seen you before. There you go.
Oh,
yes,
beautiful.
Thank you, Izzy.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's hugely evocative. And I've got these images now and this sense of, this person and this ghostly icy chill. Really top class poetry.
Thank you, Izzy.
I think it's time for me to introduce Simon Williams. Simon, I'm going to talk to you directly about yourself. And I don't want you to feel comfortable, but I'm going to quickly establish that you began writing poetry at Loughborough University.
Yes.
Over 15 years ago. Yes, slightly, well, whatever, which is under the influence of the resident poets Roger McGough and Pete Morgan, and began there to develop a poetic voice, which flexes into disparate characters with subtlety, wit, and affectation. I love that. I've stolen that from someone else's blurb, but I really like it. I want to cut. You've been a star and a stalwart star in the firmament of the Southwest poetry scene and beyond for so long. I'm going to gloss over all the books you've written in that time, the life performances, running the Tradewinds at the Tradewinds Arms. I'm going to come more to the present, and just I'm going to even gloss over doing the Weatherhouse with Susan and performing in the pamphlet. I want to come straight to the most recent collection, The Magic Almanac, launched this month on the 1st of December, published by Dempsey and Windle, which I'm really looking forward to reading. I've already ordered my copy. It's going to be wrapped up for me for Christmas, so it better be good. But according to the internet, you're also developing a one-man show.
That's right. Yes, it's all ready to go, and then we're all locked down.
We're locked down. Anyway, I'm also looking forward to that, but welcome, Simon. Consider yourself introduced.
This first one, it has a wolf in it, but it's a sort of fantasy wolf, because it's the wolf out of the tale of the three little pigs. And I rather imagined that he'd had his comeuppance and they'd got hold of him. And as part of his punishment for having destroyed their houses, he had to go and apologise to the pigs. So I also imagine it was quite a sleazy character. So this is him doing that. It's called Doorstep Patter. I only want to talk. I'm making a study of native pig culture and hoped you might have stories of your parents' parents I could use. Sorry about the straw house, I just got carried away. Though straw does seem an odd material to build with. Is it a tradition in your family? A strange coincidence, the stick house problem. Freak weather caught under the eaves, I think. Not really built for the Bavarian climate, but interesting, sociologically. The bricks are a great improvement. My thesis will show the speed with which you've adapted. I really admire your family's perseverance. It has nothing to do with the way you taste.
That's terrific.
So, this is Izzy's poem when we did the poem swap, and I really like the first right. image in this particularly. It's called Autumn. A golden wolf howling is the proud announcing of autumn. It is obvious to see that the leaves are not green and have floated down by gravity. A bonfire of hope is solemn spoke by the spirits that lurk in the trees and mushrooms that are suddenly seen. The river is flowing and the whole world is knowing. Winter is coming, though autumn is glowing.
Wow. I love that.
And then finally, this is a poem about a painting. And this is about a painting by the American artist Edward Hopper, probably his best known. It's called Nighthawks. And the picture depicts a cafe and a diner, American diner in New York, where he was mainly doing his work. Late at night, so there's just the guy behind the counter with his little white cap, little white paper cap on, and three or four people in the cafe waiting for different things and drinking coffee. And so that was the original painting. And then about 5-6 years ago, a second one appeared, allegedly by Banksy, although I don't know whether he's actually claimed authorship of it, with the same image, but with a giant anteater, which has obviously thrown a couple of chairs at the glass of the diner and is doing a sort of World Cup 1966 sort of arms in the air kind of whoop at having done the dirt. So this is a sort of backstory to that, or what happened after that anteater attack. And it's called Nighthawks Part 3. And I shan't attempt to do a New York accent, though it should really be done in one. I had been sitting there the best part of an hour, struck up conversation with a couple waiting for the overnight to Chicago. Couldn't risk a third coffee when this giant anteater threw two chairs at the window. I'd never seen an ant bear that size. It damn near smashed the glass. The guy behind the counter called the cops, but by the time a black and white came by, the beast had moved off. They called Ant Bear Recovery and went on patrol, which would have been the end of it. I was buttoning my coat when a pair of koipus arrived to repair the pain. The counter guy said he hadn't called for anybody and his boss would have to authorize the glass replacement. The koipus didn't look pleased, said there'd be a call-out charge. But he turned to me and said, "Did I make a call to these sharks?" "Hey, we're koipus," said the bigger one. He got them to leave. The couple went for their coach and I asked if he'd be all right. "Sure," he said. "There's been a lot of this. The anteater cracks the window, then the koipus try and wrap up. I'm not having any of it. I'll ring the beavers in the morning. They do a better job. Less mess." Thank you. You ought to try and see that image. It's great with the anteater in it.
I want to, yes, because I can now partly see it, but I know I can't right. see the image. But is that from
it the is from the Magpie Almanac? Yes. Yes. Well, I quite like Magic Almanac. Image. Perhaps that's the next one.
It's partly a review right. before I read it.
Yes, the Magpie Almanac, which was named, as you say, because there are so many different subjects in there and because magpies go around picking up anything bright, which is roughly what I was doing with poetic material, I guess, trying to pick up the bright things.
You mean this is the bright things of your favourite pieces over the last 5 years? Because I've gathered this is like... You've just been putting together things that you've written.
Yeah. I mean, I started at the beginning of the first lockdown and I thought, well, you know, I've got time on my hands now. I haven't had a book out for 5 years. So let's try and get a manuscript together. So I went through everything that I'd written in the last 5 years and threw out most of it and got it down to about 150 poems and then went through it again and got it down to 100 and finally got it down to about 75, which is what's in there now. So I'm hoping it's the top 75.
Yay. Well done.
Well done. You've been pretty prolific then. There must be, so growing wild all around your house, I'm done with, are these discarded poems?
Yeah, sort of piles of them, really. Yes, I mean, I do write a lot, which is quite good because there's quite a high attrition rate as well, and quite a lot of them never actually see the light of day.
What about Izzy? Izzy?
Yeah.
Have you thought about applying to the Foils Award? Because I was reading this morning that so many young people are applying these days. It's really increased in terms of numbers. And I thought you'd be perfect. Because I was chatting to someone on the radio, a young girl called Arabella Green, who was commended. So I thought, gosh, you're going to win the prize if you apply. So have you thought about that?
I haven't thought about that at all. I don't even know what that means.
The Foils Young... Do you know much about it, Simon?
I don't, I'm afraid. I mean, I assume Foils is the bookshop.
Yeah.
But, the London bookshop. I didn't know... Well, I have heard of the award, but I didn't know much more about it than you've just said.
Yeah, OK. Well, Izzy, that's definitely one to think about. Uh-huh. Because you've already... Is it three? Two or three awards?
I won two, I think.
So it's definitely brilliant. Time for a third.
Well, I haven't thought about that sort of thing, but yeah, maybe I'll think about that.
Izzy, yes. What was it like to read Simon's poem?
I really enjoyed it, actually. I think it's quite nice to read other people's poems because I haven't written so many recently, and it was quite nice to just read something different. It was quite interesting to see your own poem being read by somebody else, so it was interesting to hear mine, and maybe for Simon it was interesting to hear his.
Certainly was, yeah.
Yeah, I often think... Doing a cover version, you know, in music.
Yes.
I think I first heard Brian Patton doing this. I think he always does it. Just at least one time in every reading, will bring a poem by somebody else that he just loves and read it to his audience. So I think it's a lovely idea.
You used to do it in your shows as well, didn't you? You had the was it Dead Poets Society or
it was Dead Poets Slam?
That was it. Yes.
For some reason, I used to encourage people always to, for some reason, Latitude's a dead poet. I don't know why I made that restriction. It's like, you did it for us, didn't you, Simon? I forget
who
you did.
I forget who I did. I did do it, yes. But it's...
Should have you also performed as yourself in the living poet?
I haven't performed as a dead poet yet.
you're on stage and all your vital signs are there.
Yeah.
Singing, a cappella singing.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes.
Izzy, have you got another poem? Nice.
Great.
Okay, so... This one is called Secret Island. This is like my first classic poem, so which I've read so many times, but I still love it. The river that flows and the whispering willows, creaky and crooked, a pathway for us. Bubbling waters and icy cold swimming, adventures at moonlight with plenty of daring. Rock pools and ridges, a wonder for dens. And when storms come, the treasures we find that's been left on the shore behind. Brightly coloured bushes and firewood we need, a pathway above us with roots and leaves. This is our secret island, which we visit every year, and this to us is why it's so dear.
Thank you, Izzy. Mm-hmm. That was wonderful. Thank you. Simon, would you like to say a final poem?
This is a poem about a bear, a mother bear and her cubs. It's called Black Bear Dreams. I'm getting slow under a blank sky. I've worked the heat days and the cubs are alive. It will soon be long sleep. I return at this time. Wait for the first big snow before entering. Let the white flakes hide our footmarks. As I settle with the youngsters born in last year's dark rest, their breathing sounds like prey in its last slow sucking of the air. They may dream of flashfish snaking through the shallows like rattlers. The taste of pink outstrips all others. Fish, flesh, my aching teats.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you.
We've had a great time with both of you, Izzy Mattesini and Simon Williams. Mr. Matt Harvey, thank you for being on the Barrel House podcast. You've been a joy.
Been great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
To the ground.
And that's not it yet. You've got to be on the ride. Didn't that leave you feeling so warm and sort of cosseted? Izzy Mattesini, oh, you just fill my heart with joy. And you too, Simon Williams. Matt Harvey, you're so quick-witted. Oh my God, hard to keep up. It was completely wonderful to be listening to all of that again. And I just feel, you know, I sometimes on these programmes, I pose the question, does poetry create sleep or give you superpowers? And I think every single time, a coconut, after I've listened to the lockdown podcasts and the you know, the book launch poets, and as the show rolls on, other people, I always leave the programme feeling completely uplifted. So thank you, gang. And a special thanks going out to Billy Elliott, the series editor, and to Wax Machine for their divine music. Talking about music, shall we have some? Shall we? Yes, I think so. Let's have a little bit of Judy Collins before we get poet Susan Taylor on the programme.
Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? One who keeps tearing around, one who can't move. Where are the clowns? There ought to be clowns. Just when I'd start. Isn't it queer? Losing my timing this late in my career. But where are the clowns? There ought to be clowns. Well, maybe.
the beautiful voice of Judy Collins and Send in the Clowns. If you've just tuned in, this is 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio. This is The Word Cafe with Julie Mullen. We are now going to be launching a book. This is very exciting. So let's have a little bit of music as the backdrop to introduce you to poet Susan Taylor. Susan Taylor, poet, has been weaving words since she was 16 when she left school. And that's too many years to reflect upon on an early spring day. An ex-shepherd from Lincolnshire, she now lives on Dartmoor, and on the moors, windswept landscapes have drawn her to the wild side. So she's now a devotee of wolves. La Loba Speaks for Wolf is her ninth poetry collection, out soon from Burning Eye Books.
Hello, Julie, and hello, everyone. I'm very pleased to be here on The Word Cafe on this special occasion when I'm launching a new book, La Loba Speaks for Wolf. It's coming very soon from BX3, which is part of Burning Eye. I'd like to take you back really in time to me in Totnes, a little story from way back when I was walking down the high street and I met a friend, and her name is Anne Ward, and she told me about another new book, a new book then, called Women Who Run With the Wolves, by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. This sounded very exciting, and I went off to the Arcturus bookshop to get my copy. I opened the book, and this is what I read in the foreword by Pinkola Estes. We are all filled with a longing for the wild. There are few culturally sanctioned antidotes for this yearning. We were taught to feel shame for such a desire. We grew our hair long and used it to hide our feelings. But the shadow of wild woman still lurks behind us during our days and in our nights. No matter where we are, the shadow that trots behind us is definitely four-footed. Lots unfolded from reading this book. It's a wonderful book of ancient tales. And the short work on La Loba in there just inspired me very, very much. I began writing poems for her. I'd like to start with two poems. One actually is from before that time and was the first poem where a wolf snuck in. And the other one is a really new poem which was added to the book at the last minute. So here's the new poem. We're going out of town into the forest. The forest crier's call. Hear ye, hear ye, the children of the night. Oh yeas, oh yeas, the gatekeepers. Hear ye, hear ye, the wolves round about. Oh yeas, Oh, yays! The Game Changers. Hear ye, hear ye! The Guardians of the Forest. So that's what we need. We need forest criers, not just town criers. That's what I reckon. My poem from way back, Where the Wolf Snuck In, is called The Boulder in the Room. I was very fortunate to live in a house, an ancient house. I love old houses. And this one was built over a stone. This is a big stone, and it was in the wall, the front wall. You could see it from the outside, and the whole load of it rested in the lounge. The boulder in the room. This house has an uncommon boulder, neither in nor out of doors, but spanning both. You could fancy there's a threshold there, not necessarily to the normal outside. A link to the valley where all the boulders ring with half-heard cadences, just as they did when trees formed a full cape for the spirit-born of forest, and no man dare to tear their branches down. We're left with shimmering garlands around the faces of the waterholes we've ripped out of the sky. Let's not be strict on how far back it was when this land was fair and forested. Sacred acorns and keys of ash are turning to their revival in our soils. When you care enough to rest your head up on this rock, shut your eyes and slumber against its old grey. You can hear the layers of dreams gone hard begin to soften. An image strikes you like an axe, so you jump a whole life in your sleep. Swearing you should be dead, you cross back the threshold and thank your lucky stars. When all you can remember is how the rock went through you, take good care to sit by it often, as it curls up in the front wall like a wolf asleep. It is a head of creature earth, the eye of ancient storm, a waymarker. So moving forwards again, I had a lovely set of poems which became a show, and the show was called La Loba Enchanting the Wild, and that's the basis, really, of the heart where this book comes from. And they were about La Loba in all kinds of situations, but not actually the little heart of what Estes was writing. And so it was decided that I had feedback that I should kind of have an introduction to all these wild encounters. And the introduction turned into a poem. Let the song come through. There is a time called mountain time. It is a single breath, the career of a raindrop as it runs through river fingers into ocean wave, the stretch of a wolf's life, the epoch it takes for starlight to earth out of the dark. There's also time called forest time. It's the comfortable bedding in of a layer of peat on a foothill, the mysterious erection of a toadstool. The moment, that one moment, each of us draws in our waking breath, the capsule of power in human voice that carries word, phrase, myth, stray story, wandering poem, and lands it safe and sound. Safe and sound as the thud of a pine cone when it drops on the forest floor. On this margin where forest clings to the sheer face of a mountain, a woman juggles bones in shafts of starlight. Then she places them in the shape that makes a wolf, lying down beside them beneath a blanket spun of star silk. The air and all that is there shimmers, everything glistening as it listens, while this lady bright draws the breath of midnight into her frame to catch the movement of the moment on her lips and let the song come through, no longer wolf of bones, but wolf complete and breathing in the radiance around them. A night as clear as this one is a precious cloth unfurled, releasing the untold, unknown, an other time, an other side. Not make-belief, just make-believe our medicine woman's changeable. She's more than woman now. The wolf more than a wolf. Whatever this is, they vanish in a glancing sleeve of forest time. The song comes through. So there she is, La Loba, building a beautiful wolf creature from the bones she finds, then singing over the skeleton, bringing the muscle, the flesh, the pelt, and the heart all back into process and life. This is perhaps where it would be good for me to mention the Mexican wolf. The Mexican wolf is the lobo. The female is the loba. And so they're directly connected into this work. A purebred wolf of ancient lineage, much threatened, very, very endangered. There were 12 couples left in the wild, sadly. There is a campaign to get the wolf back into Mexico, not so much into Mexico, into New Mexico. A radical breeding program, spearheaded by the Wolf Conservation Center in New York, was introduced to get these wolves back into nature. And it's going on right now. Profits I make from this book, it seemed the right thing to do to donate them to this centre. They also gave me the cover for the book, which is a wonderful picture of a loba howling. You can find a link to pre-order the book, and that's on my website, www.susantaylor.co.uk. Time to do an animated poem now, I think. So the story behind this one is that I wanted to be at the place where La Loba did the magic. So it's called The Making of Wolf. I give these lips swish, wolf kith, wolf kin, wolf kiss. Imagine an image of lips tip to zip up a life path. This lip on this lip. Imagine the image swish. Wolf kith, wolf kin. Is kiss, kiss, kiss of life. Animation running on imagination merges, emerges. Surge of emotion stirs notion of motion. This is wishes, wishes, wishes. Swish, wolf wish, fulfillment. Tip lip to lip tip, together to gather, well into swell, willing to dwell in moments pursued, purse to tell of momentum, swish, wolf ish is momentous, tell well the kill, 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 stand still, 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 swish, wolfish will well up to catch up, to match up, to make up, to slake these bones, shake them up, up, up in shapely shapes. Bone flight in the air, the bones in the shape, in the light of a wolf. The wolf shapes. Swish, wolf is. Wolf this simply put, these bones are longing together, belonging together, rock together as lips do, the top and the bottom, well into swell to fulfill the will to trip off the tongue, the spill of the spell. freshened to fresh, scheme into schemed, flashed into flesh, dream into dreamed, swish, woof. Nuzzle to nose, headed to head, necked into neck, furred into fur, heart into heart, ribbed into ribs, bellied to belly, hipped into hips, legged into legs, tailed into tail, embodied in body, poured into pores. Ears to ears, uplifted, pricked and away. Swish, wolf kiss, wolf kin, wolf kiss. Oh, I'm a bright pattern. Wolf, like a kiss is a wolf, a wolf, a roar. The final poem I'd like to do is a poem where Liloba speaks for Wolf. Lots of people now are speaking for Wolf, not just me. And I'm sure a lot of you know that. So lots of ambassadors for wolves. And this tradition goes back in history, of course, to the Native Americans, who had great respect for their wolves. But here's Liloba, the Mexican woman, or the mythic woman of magic. Liloba speaks for wolf. I am all ears and mouth, all wanting and bonding. The rocks an abacus, slopes a playground, the pack bounding there, my playmates. Through scrub, rockfall and snowstorm, instinct nurtures. Wolf comes about me through the wind, tongues of grass blades, pull of forest, path of moonlight, rush of blood, the shiver of dust in sun's bounty, the sound of cherish, the taste of fear. I yearn to return wolven favours in kind. As I come close to the likeness of mountain, I stand for its beauties, my coat grey grizzled. I howl to mimic storm's arrival, my jawline craggy with teeth peaks, to bring anything down on its belly and leave red scraps for eagle chicks. A wolf or another exquisite wild creature was hunted, slaughtered, and skinned to go into each and every human shadow. Creep closer to feel for your wolf skin. There is kinship casting about. Talk of interdependence. It is time to cross over the borders. Piece together a change for the sake of the real, the forest, the range, the river, the wild. Each animal runs free if we run free in our original, elemental, coming into our senses. Every sense gone before. Every one to run after. Every day yours in the eyes of the wolf ambassador. Your everyday wolf woman, Liloba. Take a wolf breath and howl.
Wow, that gave me absolute goosebumps. Susan Taylor, congratulations. That was absolutely wonderful to listen to again. Thank you so much for being part of Book Launch on the Word Cafe. I think we need a little bit of this, don't we?
wolf cries for his lady, he misses her so. It's the call of the wild, the rain turns into snow. And the others are hiding from weather so bad. But he's out there searching for the love he once had. Lady, come back to me. He cries and he cries himself to sleep, saying, lady, worry some me. I'll never give up, you are the salt of my sea. The wolf desperately wanders, he has to move fast, tries to pick up the pieces, a clue from his past. If you love one, then love them and let your love grow. Twas a fool who said you must let your love go. Lady, come back to me. You'll cry and you'll cry yourself to sleep, saying, baby, never give up, you are the salt of my sea. So she lay awake in her tent at night, with no kid beside her, just dimming sunlight. And she hopes that one day the wolf will reappear. Till then she will live in a puddle of tears. This is the whisper of wind through the trees. Tell me, baby, am I alone? Give me your secrets, and you I shall roam. Baby, come back to me. I'll cry and I'll cry myself to sleep, saying, baby.
Sounds of the Grey Wolf, in honour of our book launch poet today, Susan Taylor. Absolutely loved listening to the poetry and musicality in those poems as well. Better send these wolves away. Bye-bye. Oh, and prior to that, we had Wolf Cries by Julia Harriman. So we are coming up to the top of the hour, but before I sort of move forward to our next piece of poetry on a bus, just to say, if you want to pre-order that book, it is susantaylor.co.uk. Go to her website, which is absolutely fabulous. Go and swim around and pre-order it. So yes, let's have a little bit of 100,000 Angels, I think. Thank you.
the voice of a mother and a father and a child. Would you recognize the truth? Do you feel the love that's falling from my eyes? Take just a
Hundred Thousand Angels by Your Side. Wow, I love that lyric. And that was Bliss. I was very fortunate to see them live at the Chalice Well in Glastonbury. It was completely beautiful experience. So, yes, if you want to go online to connect with Susan Taylor, the book is called La Loba Speaks for Wolf, and it's susantaylor.co.uk. And just to kind of flag up, really, the king and queen of poetry in our local area, that are obviously Susan Taylor and Simon Williams, they are the two. Because when I came to Devon, obviously our main focus was to try and find somewhere to live, because we were just staying at a friend's house. And so I didn't really try very hard in the first couple of months to connect to poetry. In fact, I think it took about a year. And I bumped into Susan and Simon at their gig on the high street. And I was sort of saying, oh gosh, there's nothing about, there's no poetry anywhere. I'm really missing poetry. And they laughed. Oh, how they laughed. And they laughed. And of course, now, many years later, I realise that Devon and the local area of Totnes, Dartington and beyond Tynemouth, what, you know, all this area is completely full to the brim and lots of huddles of poets everywhere. It's been a bit difficult, obviously, because of the pandemic, but lots of stuff online. So if you are new to the area and you've found Sound Out Radio and this programme right now, then do continue huddling with us. The Word Cafe hopefully will be back at the Barrett House in the not-too-distant future. But meantime, you can listen to the programme once a week on Thursday, or at least for the next couple of weeks, and then we'll have a little break and come back in April. But meantime, do not go away. We have Mr. Robert Garnham, who is clearly someone to liaise with.
Hello there. Ooh. Robert Garnham here. Hello, this is Robert Garnham, performance poet. And today, this is very exciting. I'm actually on the bus between Paignton and Brixham. So the thing about buses is it actually goes right back to the start of my poetry career. I remember when I was a kid, I was on the bus with my mum. I could only have been about 4 or 5. I'd only just started at school. And for some reason I started coming out with this really stupid poem. So I'll tell you what, I'll do it for you now. This is actually the very first poem that I ever performed or even wrote. So it still doesn't have a title. It's just called Poem. Woe bus, steadily bus, 442. Buses and coaches in the garage. There's so much to do. So as you can see, at age 4, I had that kind of symphonic ability with words, which hasn't really left me, I suppose, even till now. Anyway, I hope you're doing okay, and that you're having a good week. There's not much to say, really. It's dark. I can't see anything because I'm wearing a mask and my glasses have fogged up. So I'm just going to wipe them down and then read a poem. So here we go. This is a poem I wrote after going to one or two open mics where you get the page poets come up who wonderful use of language, and yet they perform really, really slowly. So this is, they try and get into their little world and become accepted as a member of the page poetry community. This is a slow poem. Poem. It mentions mallards in the evening fog. It's so slow that you don't know when it ends. Thank you. Is what I'd say when it ends. This is a slow poem. Thank you. Okay, so that is the poem, and we are just now passing the COVID testing facility. And I was thinking the other day of that would be the perfect place to write a sitcom. I don't know what I'd call it. Something a bit like MASH, but based in the present time. So anyway, my name has been Robert Carnham. You've been listening to another episode of Whimsy in the Woods, and I bid you all a very pleasant day.
That was Mr. Robert Carnham. Wasn't it bumpy? Oh, I felt the bumps on that bus. So over the weeks that we've been launching the lockdown pods, we've had Robert on every week at around one-ish, and he's been all over the show. He's been in an arcade. He's been in the woods, in the forest, on a bus. Oh my goodness, he's been all over the place. But I've really enjoyed all of them. They've been such a laugh. So soon we shall be connecting with Rosie Barrett. Meantime, let's have a little bit of music. We always do a little bit of music. I think it's time for Marla. I think it's that moment that we have to call Rosie Barrett, find out exactly where she is, what she's doing, and what she's writing. Hello. Hello, Rosie Barrett.
Hello. I was just switching you off. I finally managed to connect with your wonderful show, but not until just now. I'm well out of your area, so I have to sort of fiddle around with different radio things.
Can you hear me all right?
I'm just on my phone.
No, it's absolutely great. Excellent. It's really, really strong. Rosie, welcome to the Word Cafe on 102.5 FM. Now, I just want to sort of get us all in mind of you. Where are you located in Devon then?
I am in the most wonderful bit of Devon. Ooh. That's where I am.
Ooh.
I am on a tidal road near Burr Island.
Oh, wow.
Near Kingsbridge. And it's fabulous.
So is your view the ocean then?
No, our view's better than that.
Oh.
We have a little creek, mm-hmm. and we have a tidal road which people regularly get stuck on and have to be hauled out and rescued. And so we have mud sometimes, so wonderful, wonderful birds. And then we have hundreds of swans and all sorts, egrets, because I can see the proper bit of the estuary just down from Abbott & Gifford or Orton Gifford or AG, as the locals call it.
Okay.
It's a good bit.
Yeah. That's, well, it's very glamorous around those parts with that hotel. Can you, do you often sort of row over there or sort of go gallop in your jelly shoes to Bear Island? Do you go over there?
Very rarely go to Bear Island. Haven't been there for years.
Really?
But we ought to. And we probably will. I think it's got new owners or something, hasn't it? And I think we'll try out the Pilchard again, because the pub there used to be really good. And I hear they've got their own kitchen now, so they actually do feed people rather than it went through a tricky phase, let's put it.
Okay.
Anyway,
Clearly are inspired.
I regularly go to the dog.
So you're inspired by your local, you know, area where you live. Is this the basis of a lot of your poetry, Rosie?
It's some of my poetry. Some of it, as you will see from what I do today, is not. But yes, some of it is. I mean, I've got some things about ravens and that kind of business, and I've done a lot of working through stuff. And by walking through, and they tend to be, yeah, I've got lots of working through things in my head stuff.
Mm-hmm.
that works with the local area.
Mm-hmm.
But some of that's a bit sort of heavy for this time of the day. And, don't want to do that.
Shall we hear a poem? What are you going to do first?
Okay. Right. Well, I thought I'd first start off with one which... Actually, you do know Tom Waits, don't you?
Oh, yes. And how?
Yes. Because if you didn't, this would probably make no sense. But it got published by a sort of quirky little magazine publishing house, Picaroon, a couple of years ago. So this one is called Tom Waits Comes to Tea and Has a Nice Time. He seemed surprisingly altogether far too big sitting in my kitchen. I'd steered him away from the bentwood rocker circa 1930, to a much sturdier farmhouse carver, much less fragile. He would keep tipping it back. He takes his tea black with a slice of lemon and is partial to jam tarts. We talked about how life moves on and azaleas. He's quite an expert. I'd fallen in love to Martha and the piano has been drinking. We went up to Yorkshire, up the A1, high on the old 55. But that was then, he said. I felt throttled. I just found myself starving in a belly of the whale. He got up and took the iron from me. Did I say I'd been ironing when he knocked? Woman, you're doing it all wrong. This is how you iron a shirt.
I love your Tom Waits.
Very good.
That's great.
Okay. Next one, I was in, you had Simon Williams and Susan on, and it's in their anthology play.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
It's called Making Sense of It All.
Mm-hmm.
Brum, brum, chugga chugga. Good morning, mate. The farmer and the tractor driver greet in the small boy's world. Sports cars, diggers, 10-ton trucks, all lined up to play their parts. Later, in the bath, Air Sea Rescue perform dramatic acts of daring, saving two polar bears and a random Jersey cow from a pink sponge iceberg. Asleep, he dreams, smiles, calls out, laughs, channeling his day to meet the next.
Thank you, Rosie. And can I just ask you, how are you making sense of it all in terms of your poetry connections during the pandemic and right now? Are you getting back to gigs? Are there any gigs in your local area, or how has it gone for you? Just to
I love Zoom.
Oh, wow,
I've Zoomed all over the world. I've Zoomed in Australia and America and Germany, and I've had such a good time. So, you know, being the old self-publicist that I am, Yes, I know. Yes, it's lovely to see people in the flesh. Where did I go? I went up to the East Coast. My brother lives in Harrogate in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
So I used him as the excuse to go all the way up to Lancashire to somewhere called Silverdale.
I've heard of that, yeah.
There was a launch of the Beautiful Dragons anthology with and I'd got into that, so I used that as an excuse and met real people for the first time. It was so good. And then, you know, afterwards we were staying in the same pub. Well, there was only one pub. We stayed in the same pub as some of the other people, so we sat until after the gig, which was in the Memorial Hall or something, and we sat and we chatted until we got told we got to go to bed because they wanted to close the bar. It was so nice, and they were all people I knew by hearing or reading them, but had never met, and it was so nice. Yeah, it's good.
So it's good. But, it's good to actually, I think, have people who are listening out there who are listening to the programme because they love poetry and maybe live in Dartington or Totnes or the local area, or perhaps not. Maybe they're listening online and they are in Australia. But you know, the point of this is, when do you think we're going to get back to real life gigs? What's in your mind about? Do you feel safe now, Rosie, or what do you think?
I don't avoid them, but I haven't been to any. Yeah. Apart from that, and particularly now that our blessed PM has said that people can go out
and do anything
without testing and all that sort of business. Mm. I'm actually going to be more vigilant than I have been for the last little while.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, that is interesting.
I thought that people are being careful, but if nobody's being careful, then...
That really is, that's quite an interesting thought there, Rosie. Thank you for putting that out there. Let's have some more of your poetry.
Okay, this is a lockdown one. What would you believe?
Ooh, good.
Remembering the hot summer of 2020, and it was in the More Poets anthology, Isolation Diaries, put together by Caroline Carver. Okay. And it's called Learning to Be a Lizard. I'm learning to be a lizard, but not yet on the page where I flick out my tongue, catch my lunch, crunch its exoskeleton, spit out the wings. I'm learning to be a lizard in unusual, hot and sunny times. Ambitions locked down. Eating, sleeping, my habitat narrowed. Creeping out as light hits the wall, wakes me up. I stretch my face to the sun, scan the big blue, waiting for a vapor trail. Watch the buzzards circling in the thermals. Listen to the cracking of the cones in the pines above. I'm learning to be a blizzard as the heat beats off the mottled slabs, the world and I so still.
Beautiful, Rosie. That's really good. Tell me a little bit about the More Poets. So are you part of that?
More Poets. I'm a member of the More Poets. I'm a more recent one than, I think, I don't know whether that wasn't started by Simon and Susan, or at least a group of them. And we're not all on the Moor. I think it probably started off with people who lived on the Moor, but we're not all on the Moor now. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in Tynmouth. It's a group of, I don't know. I don't know how to describe them really. Lots of poets they're just a really nice group. And
do they have a website that people link into where all your poems are?
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, okay. Doesn't matter.
They're on Facebook. I think if you Google More Poets,
they'll find them.
I'm sorry, I should know, shouldn't I?
No, don't worry.
I don't know.
No, I'm very like that myself. Now I need to know a little bit about you as a poet. Are you driven by publishing your work? Do you send it out to magazines, or do you pursue competitions? What sort of animal are you?
I don't know. I do competitions when I get. It's usually at like 2 minutes to midnight of the deadline. I'm really, really hopeful.
We're like soul sisters.
I know you shouldn't do it like that. I'm supposed to be. I've at great expense, I have joined a course online. I think it's a 6 or 8 week course. Yesterday, I got the fifth instalment of it, and I haven't actually started it yet, but I must, because it's called Gathering Your Work for a Collection.
Oh.
And it starts off with saying, you know, choose 40 poems or something, and I can't do that bit. That's the bit I can't do.
You see, you need a poetry sister or poetry brother that sits down with you, listens, and then you have a really good old chat-a-roo, and work it all out. But anyway, let's not waste the time, because I really want to hear more of your poetry. I'm realising we've only probably got about 3 more minutes left. So let's have some more poems.
Okay, I've got one. A few years ago, 6 of us in a poetry school group in Plymouth, well, we got together and we put together an anthology with the help of Lucy Lepchani.
Brilliant.
Anyone in the poetry scene will know Lucy. Yep. She was wonderful. And she published it for us with Crafty Little Press. And it's called Call to the Edge. And the others, and people again, if they're in the poetry scene, they'll know the names, are Melisande Fitzsimmons, Jane Slavin, Joe Ball, Rachel Gippetti, and Abigail Robinson, who sadly died just before it's published.
Oh, no.
And it is still available.
And I know Joe Ball as well.
You can get it from me via Messenger or from Crafty Little Press. Again,
brilliant.
Google Crafty Little Press and you'll find
that. Thank you for that.
So, with a grateful nod to Lem Sisse and Invisible Kisses, this is Knitted Ugg Boots and Visible Kisses. I know, it's silly, isn't it?
I like that title.
I was a new grandmother. Look no further than the new click-clack of needles to know. Look no further than the careful choice of colours and makeup of the yarn. Wool for warmth, acrylic for ease of washing, or cotton for convenience. Look no further than the trim. Your woolly Ugg boots, finished with manly, fake, cheap fabric, rather than the specified fluffy white. Look no further than bananas bought in specially, raw carrot cut in fingers, and in-date fromage frais in tiny pots in the fridge. Look no further than the cot on the landing in the way, and the high chair cluttering up the hall, to know that you will always be the first. And I will say to you, as my mother said to all her grandchildren, secretly, you are my favourite.
Oh, I love that. I love that poem. And, you know, that's really strange, because I used to say that to my mother all the time. I'd say, Mum, because there were 6 of us, I was the 6th child. And I'd say, Mum, am I your favourite? And she'd say, I don't have favourites, she'd say. So I like that secret that she said it to everybody. That's perfect. Now, I'm really sorry, Rosie Barrett, but we have run out of time. I just want to say thank you so much for agreeing to come on to the Word Cafe on 102.5 FM. And we've loved hearing your poems. And I'm so pleased that you're doing that online course. That sounds amazing. And if you need someone to sit down with you, I'll put my hand up and say I'm willing to be there for you if I can be of any help as a listening ear. And I'm sure we could all huddle. We could maybe invite 4 of us or something, 4 local poets to huddle and listen to Rosie Barrett's poetry to help her choose 40 of them. So all the very best, Rosie, and I'll catch you in real life soon. I hope. Okay.
I hope so too. Thank you so much. Lovely. Enjoyed doing it.
Bye, Rosie. Bye.
Bye.
Rosie Barrett, poet extraordinaire, Lives. Oh, I'm going to have to visit Rosie Barrett, aren't I? It sounds very posh over there. So just to say thank you, a huge thank you. First of all, to Martin Seeger, who listens next door to ensure that the programme is rolling along nicely. Thank you, Martin, also for writing and composing our Word Cafe theme, sung by Heather Jackson and Martin Seeger. Thank you to Matt Harvey, to Simon Williams, to Izzy Mattesini, to Tracy Gillies, to Susan Taylor and to Robert Garnham, and of course, Rosie Barrett. I really enjoyed being with you today. We've got a couple more of these Word Cafes, just concluding on the lockdown podcasts, and then I'll have a bit of a break and be back again in the hot seat in April. April the 7th is going to be the first programme. So let's leave you with some more of Marla, really, because I love it so much. Take good care of yourselves and get out there to the poetry. I love poets. I love poets. I love poets.